questions that I did have for you there, Eric, was I did notice on one of the websites, which was the, what should I say, about, it was the record, and it said about that there was about 1,453 complaints since 2006 until 2012. And how have those complaints been addressed?
So all of the complaints are tracked through a database system, and so that we can then follow up with the employee that's involved. So if a customer calls in and they feel that they've been missed at a bus stop, for example, or a bus operator has been rude with them, we take the information and then we follow up with the bus operator involved to get their side of the story and get their recall of the incident. So we follow through on every customer issue that comes into the GRT.
Now, what about the video and audio recording of those buses? Now, I understand that you guys have got video and audio recording of all of your transit systems. Do you guys also pull that up too? Now, the one thing I did want to ask, though, is now what about with compliments? Now, if a compliment is given, how do you guys address compliments?
You know, it's wonderful. We get about 20 compliments per month about our employees. And what we do is the same thing. We follow up and make sure that the employee is aware. What we do is we write out a thank you card to the employee, and then we take the content of the compliment. So, for example, if a customer says that, you know, a bus operator was very helpful, they saw me running for the bus, they stopped, they waited for me to get on, we would take that narrative, we'd put it into the thank you card, and let the operator know, one of your customers was really pleased with your service today, here's what they had to say, and pass that thanks on to the employee who received the compliment.
Oh, that's great. I mean, for me though, as I try to put in, I try to put in more compliments than complaints. I have been doing, what should I say? I've been doing compliments for since I've moved here since June 2014. I mean, one of your drivers, in fact, gave me the idea that, hey, if you really like my service, this is my name, this is my employee number. Go ahead and put in a compliment. And ever since then, I have gotten the idea that I should put more compliments than complaints.
That's terrific. And so each time you do, it's actually myself who does it. So I'll handwrite a thank you card and then we'll hand deliver it to the employee. So, you know, it's great to hear that they appreciate getting that type of recognition and they're, in fact, encouraging it from their customers.
Oh, absolutely. Now, when it comes to the expansion of the LRT system, now, a lot of people are actually frustrated with the construction process of the LRT system, like in terms of scheduling buses and everything of that nature. What is being looked at to have that improved?
Yeah, it has been particularly challenging for our community as we work through the construction. And GRT is experiencing some of those challenges as well. So the Route 7 used to operate on King Street, where there's a lot of the construction. The main I-Express route would operate through that corridor as well. And they've both been put on detours. So in fact, the I-Express is now over on Weaver Street, and the Route 7 is over on Park Street, which means we've got to travel further. We're not close to where some people want to be. They've got to walk further, and it'll take longer to get there. There really isn't a lot we can do. While the construction is on, we have to detour. What we've really been focusing on is customer awareness. So if people go to our website every day, we're updating any of the detours. I should say with the Route 7 and the Route 200, you know, two very important routes for GRT, we essentially put them on a permanent detour. So we decided to take them out to Weber and to Park and leave them there for the whole duration of the construction rather than changing them, you know, week to week as the construction happens. Other routes, though, they are changing frequently, and so that's why I would recommend that people go to the GRT website at grt.ca and follow the detour information to stay up to date.
Oh, absolutely, and I am personally, now in my personal opinion, I'm very excited to have an LRT system that's coming into Waterloo region. I know, however, what I think in my personal opinion, though, is for all the other residents, I think this should have been put to a vote. Now that's just my personal opinion. I personally love the idea. I love the idea that, you know, hey, transit's the way to go. And also as well, the other thing I love about transit is, and I read this once in the Globe and Mail, that the transit drivers act as an unofficial therapist for customers to talk to them sometimes.
Composure through very difficult circumstances. You're operating to a schedule that's been set. You're dealing with potential road rage. You're dealing with construction issues. And then to think that they still have the patience and the service-oriented nature to help customers with issues is really remarkable.
Oh, absolutely. I think the thing is that have you guys ever thought of, because I know at the TTC they have what they call Crisis Link in order to address any situations related to suicides that happen on TTC property. Now, will GRT implement what we say a Crisis Link program once the LRT has been put into place?
Yes, there are plans to introduce emergency buttons at each of the stations. So if a customer is having an issue or sees an issue that they feel is an emergency, they can push a button and they'll be able to access transit security 24 hours a day.
Oh, that is great. Now, will special constables be part of the process as well? Because I've been hearing just talks around that, even from some bus drivers and stuff, that there will be special constables that will be patrolling the properties too.
So they won't be special constables. What's going to happen when ION is launched is we're going to introduce a fair enforcement program because customers can get on a train without having to put money into the fare box. There won't be a traditional bus operator in a fare box like there is at the front of a bus. So customers will validate their fare on a smart card, similar to Presto. If you've used the GO train, you're aware of what I'm talking about.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the same methodology, and so we'll have fare enforcement officers that will be going through and just ensuring that the customers who are riding ION have in fact paid their fare. They pay their fare at the station by tapping their card on a fare validation system. They can also pay cash and get a ticket at each of the stations, but it'll be the responsibility of the customers to ensure that they paid that fare before they get onto the train. And then we will have fare enforcement staff that will be monitoring that on a regular basis.
Okay. That sounds good as well. Now, I do know that you guys have got an honor system right now for fares right now, where if someone doesn't have a fare, they get to ride the bus for free, but then they have to pay the fare the next time they come on. Now, the question is that now what happens if someone doesn't have a fare? Will they be fined? Like I know in Toronto, they fine people $235 for not having a fare on the TTC.
So that has not been finalized yet, but that's likely what will happen, is that there'll be some kind of a process put into place. Likely the first time they would be given a warning and their information would be entered into the system. If it happened on a repeated basis, then there would be some type of a fine system that would come into play. However, we're still working on developing that. We're looking at best practices across the industry, and we'll take that information to Regional Council with a recommendation for the type of fair enforcement system that we'd like to put into place.
Oh, absolutely. Now, the one thing that I did want to ask, though, is now if you guys are going with, let's say, just fair enforcement officers, may I just ask, if that's okay with you, Eric, how come you guys are not, I mean, GRT is not thinking of just doing special constables or stuff like that, because that would make things a lot more easier. Like, for example, I'm just pulling up the TTC bylaw number 1 right now, just while I'm speaking with you here, and let's say and let's say if someone refuses to give someone an accessible seat, for example, they get fined for that on the TTC. Now, I have seen sometimes where passengers will not, let's say, move to the back of the bus when the buses get full, or on occasion they will not move for a wheelchair for the priority seats. Do you think you're going to also implement fines on that too? Because I think that would be a good idea to have.
At this time, there aren't plans to create that kind of a punitive-based system. I mean, those issues do happen, but as you probably know as a transit rider, they are more of an exception than the norm. Most of our customers are acting very appropriately on a bus. If there are issues, the bus operator can contact a transit supervisor, and if need be, can contact police, depending on the severity of the incident that's happening on the bus. But the bus operator really will monitor that and react to it for now. In time, it may be something that's looked at, but at this point in time, it's not something that we're considering.
Absolutely, because I find that with the TTC, I'm looking at this here. Like, for example, alter identification card, $425 fine on that. Invalid identification card, $235. Unauthorized crossing or entering upon subway tracks, $425. Yeah, that is that. It's a little too punitive. I have to say that. Like, I mean,
so we'll have. What we're developing right now are things around fare evasion, and if as I mentioned, we're looking at best practices, including the TTC. We'll come forward with some recommendations around fare evasion, in the future. If there are issues that are becoming more problematic, then we would consider different options and alternatives to deal with those.
Absolutely. So how often is it that people refuse to pay fares or don't have fares or anything of that specific nature? Like, sometimes, like, for myself, like, when I lived in Windsor one time, I forgot my bus pass on a couple occasions, and I was allowed to ride the bus. And I mean, I'm an honest person myself, right? But then at the same time, there's a few people that are not honest and they don't want to pay, but the majority of people are actually honest. Now, what about if let's say, for example, someone forgets their fare 2 times, but they purchased a bus pass and the driver knows them, for example, are they still going to be punished for that too under this new system?
They may be. It may end up being a second warning, or that they would need to come back and demonstrate to the fare enforcement officer that they in fact do have a bus pass. Perhaps they can make an arrangement to meet at a later date and time to confirm that. So I think the fare enforcement officers will have to take judgment into consideration. I think the fare enforcement officers are a combination between customer service and transit ambassadors while still being effective fare enforcement officers. So I think each case will have to be taken on its own merit.
Absolutely. Now, under the Police Services Act, now when you hire fare enforcement officers, they will have to follow certain protocols under the Police Services Act. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know the whole law on that. But now, what happens if someone has a complaint about a fare enforcement officer's attitude or something of that specific nature? Because I know with police officers, for example, it's a hell of a complaint process.
Yeah. So, moving in the direction of special constables, then they're tied into police services. But in fact, we won't be doing that. We'll be using our current security staff. We have a contract arrangement with a company called Barber Collins, and we'll be working with that group to train the fair enforcement officers. If there are issues, then people would call in to GRT, just as they do now with issues, say, with a bus operator or somebody, a ticket clerk at one of the bus terminals. So if there is an issue, they'd call it in, and we would investigate it. Again, we have access to video information that can help validate their concerns, but we'll investigate internally.
Now, will you be investing in what you call body cameras for the fair enforcement officers? Body cameras?
No. At this time, there's no plans to do that. I think a lot of the investment will be training-based investment to ensure that they can effectively deal with situations in a positive and effective way.
I think that would be great as well. Now, the only question that I had when it comes to, for example, public transit, for example, now, as a customer, I have to say that sometimes, sometimes passengers on the buses sometimes can cause issues, and I know many drivers don't want to get involved because they don't want a confrontation or anything like that. I know some drivers don't want to call the supervisors because they don't want to hold up their schedules and stuff. How is that being addressed?
That's, again, an operator uses a certain amount of discretion to determine how they want to react to something. First and foremost, if there's a risk to public safety, they need to react. Every bus is equipped with a E911 button. So if a bus operator feels that the situation is urgent enough that they need to get a hold of the police, they can activate and push an E911 that takes them directly into the police. So they have the option, as you mentioned, of contacting their supervisor or the option of contacting the police directly, depending on the severity of the situation.
Absolutely. Now, sometimes when it comes to customers, I know customers sometimes they will talk to the bus drivers, for example, and while they're operating a motor vehicle under the Highway Traffic Act. Now, the question that I had was, now, I know sometimes customers are asking questions about, let's say, for example, like what route they need to go and stuff like that. But there have been times that passengers have gotten into a confrontation with someone talking to the bus driver. Now, how should a passenger handle that?
I'm really not clear on what you're asking.
So the question is that, let's say a passenger is talking to the bus driver, right, while they're actually driving, right? They're having a conversation. Now, let's say, for example, another customer comes and they start getting angry at that passenger for talking to the bus driver. How should the customer handle that?
Yeah. Well, I guess if they're concerned about it, they should make the other person aware of it. They have a number of options. They can go and sit in their seat and call transit services later on to report it. We can investigate it. But our operators will be talking to customers because, as you mentioned, often customers are looking for additional information. They're looking to determine which bus to connect to, so they're gathering information. But if that's something that bothers a customer, they should make the driver aware of their concerns. Perhaps they're concerned for their safety. Perhaps they have a question that they want to ask, and they're frustrated that the other customer's taking too long in their conversation. But I would say bring it to the driver's attention, and if you're not able to resolve it there, then just wait it out and call in to GRT and make us aware of it, and we can investigate it.
Because, I mean, the one thing is that, I know for a fact that, when I have, for example, myself, for example, I have to say that when I've talked to the bus drivers, most bus drivers don't have an issue with talking with the passengers. Most bus drivers are happy with that. But I think certain passengers I think, in my opinion, some of them just need to worry about themselves and mind their own business, I think. Unless, if there's a fight on the bus, or let's say, for example, somebody is threatening the driver's safety or a passenger's safety, then they should step in. But if someone's having just a general conversation, they should be just left alone.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Because, I mean, that's what I have to say. Because, I mean, there have been times that, people, they phone in and they complain about a passenger talking to the bus driver, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people out there, like, you know, they are senior citizens that, you know, some of them are lonely, you know what I mean? They don't have anybody to talk to, so some of them find it comfortable talking to the bus drivers. I don't think it's appropriate for anyone to go and tell another passenger not to talk to the bus driver unless the driver themselves says, I'm not comfortable with it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's a wonderful service. It connects the residents to the community. It's a gathering place. The bus provides an opportunity for lots of people to come together, and we're doing the best we can to deliver a safe and customer-focused service for Waterloo Region.
Now, the other question I did have was about human rights. So with the Ontario Human Rights Commission, I know at the TTC, all drivers are supposed to be aware of the entire knowledge of the Ontario Human Rights Commission, and they're fully trained on that when they're actually on the roads, on their patrols, on their buses, while they're picking passengers up. Now, is GRT focusing a lot on human rights?
Focusing a lot, I'm not sure what you mean by that. But
what I mean by that, if I may interrupt, is are you guys training your drivers to be like on the entire human rights code and telling them about the what's in the human rights code?
I'm not sure whether we do that training or not, but what I can say is that our operators are trained in customer service, and I think really human rights is about treating customers fairly and equitably, and so our employees do receive training in customer service, and I would say our employees do an excellent job in delivering a great customer service.
Well, I think so too. But then there's a few drivers that, you know, some drivers may have biases, right? Some drivers may have biases that they may have experienced in their own life, and they bring those biases to work, which, I mean, sometimes that does happen too. So the only question that I'm asking here, for example, is just as a suggestion here is, will there be a time that GRT is going to train all their drivers in accordance with the human rights code? Because and what I mean by that is to make them aware of that code and what's in that code to ensure that their complaints can be minimized altogether.
Yeah, I'm not certain of that. So if we've got our current training program now, it may touch on human rights. I'm not sure of that. And at this time, I don't believe there are any plans to do any specific human rights training with our employees.
Okay. That's it's good to know. I mean, it's good to ask, because I think the thing is that, you know, our population in the region of Waterloo is getting so diverse. Like, a lot of international students are coming from China, India, Iran, Lebanon, you know, so many places around the world as well. And there's a lot of people that have disabilities too, right? You know, and there's a lot of invisible disabilities that many people don't know, even including myself, right? But I mean...
Absolutely. I know when the province introduced the AODA legislation a couple of years ago, our employees did some training. When you speak about disabilities, did some training around AODA. And we have a lot of customers that are... using the bus that are, in wheelchairs, scooters, using different mobility devices, and having the ability to accommodate everybody is very important on public transit.
Yes, it is. And I think the thing is that I think what needs to be done is to make people aware about using priority seating and everything. I think there should be like educational videos and stuff to make people aware as to what those seats are. I know in Toronto what they've done is they've actually colored those seats in blue, and they've left all the other seats in red just to give people the color-coded image on that. Now, will GRT impose something like that?
We have no plans at this time, but that's something we can look into and see what TTC is doing. I'm going to have to prepare to let you go. I had scheduled in 20 minutes for our interview.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Move on to another meeting, but it's been really wonderful talking with you. What time will the interview be aired tomorrow?
It will be aired tomorrow at 12 o'clock. That will be the interview. It will be aired at 12 o'clock noon on 100.3 Sound FM Radio Waterloo, and you will be able to check that out. And I'm going to be airing this entire conversation, just to let you know, on the interview. And it was a pleasure speaking with you there, Eric.
Great talking with you as well.
And thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me, and I and all the best in the interview you're going to.
Great. Well, thanks for using public transit, and thanks for your interest in Grand River Transit.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. It helps the environment, so thank you very much.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye, Eric.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it. That was Eric Gillespie. He is the Grand River Transit Director for Grand River Transit, and it was an absolute pleasure speaking with him today. And you were listening to 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo, and we will be airing this interview on Tuesday at 12 o'clock. Take care.